Amen. Good morning.
I pray you've been blessed already. You know, my name's Gary. I'm the pastor of the Brighton Heights campus. Before we go any further, I just want to take a moment, again, just to focus for another moment on prayer concerning the words that were spoken here during worship. You know, we come together because we want to learn to hear God's voice. We want to learn to hear his voice. And so I believe that when I listen to those three things that were shared, to me, I see a flow. I see that they go together. The first one speaking of how we need to slow down. We need to stop what we're doing and get in the presence of God and not let things distract us from him. It's so easy to be distracted, right? And the second one was, again, we can't focus on just the things of this life and the flesh. We need to focus on the things of the spirit. And then Jay came up and he shared Jesus' words about when you're weary and you're heavy laden, that you need to come to him. Everything's calling us to focus on him and get off of ourself, all right? Now, some of us are just self-consumed, right? But a lot of us too, though, there's issues. You have some obstacles in your life right now. You have some challenges. And again, we need to learn to give those to him and run after him, run into his presence, and not try to just deal with these things on the run. Right? So often, again, where you're stressed, you're pressured, and yeah, I trust you, Jesus, as I'm running, as my life is running. I'm not slowing down my mind. So what we're going to do right now, again, we're just going to pray. We hear God's voice. We want to pray for a moment. And what I want you to do is just, I encourage you to close your eyes because, again, it helps you focus. And our problem is distraction. Just close your eyes. And right now, what are the things that's clouding your mind? What are the things on your heart? I know we have people here with some serious physical issues. We got some people here with some serious legal issues. You have people here with relational issues. And again, just right now, you need to present that to God. Father, the scripture tells us, Jesus said, come to me when you're weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Okay, you say, so take that. Give that issue to him. If it's your finance, God, I've got to give this to you. Teach me. Teach me what it means to rest in you. If it's physical, God, teach me to rest in you. If I just deal with fear in general, teach me, Father. What's it mean to trust you? What's it mean to, God, that you'll give me a peace that's beyond my understanding? Father, right now, God, touch. Father, I'm asking you to touch, Lord Jesus. As we focus and we trust, he'll teach us how to have courageous faith. Teach me, Father. Don't let me leave here, God, with anxiety. I don't have to. You don't have to leave here with that. In the name of Jesus, Father, make yourself real. Make yourself real. Let your peace just settle in the room. Let us see, show us again, God, how small my problems are. Amen. Feels good, doesn't it? Amen. Listen, as we allow God, as we take that time to focus, as those words were encouraging us, that's what can happen. And really, that goes along with our Sunday school lesson today. We're in a Sunday school series where we're looking at many of the heroes of our Christian faith and seeing what we can learn from them and glean from them. There are stories that some of us heard when we were kids back in Sunday school. So we have that whole theme. We do have a snack a little later, okay, for the class. All right, so that'll be coming up. That'll be coming up also. But, you know, listen, I'll turn to Hebrews 10, by the way. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. All right, if you don't have your Bible, why not? Okay, that's the next question. Again, we all want to believe God has a purpose in our lives, that we have a destiny. And truth is, God does have a destiny for you. You know, we got people in this room in their 80s, and we got people in this room in their 20s right now. Okay, God has a destiny for you. There's a destiny. But the thing is, it doesn't just happen. You know, like many times this week, I banged up my hands, got cuts on my hand. But, you know, my body just heals itself. It just does it. It just, right, it scabs over, the body ministers itself and brings about healing. Your destiny doesn't work that way. You will not just happen into your destiny. You have to choose to step into it. You have to make a step. You have to make an effort. Say, I'm going to step into my destiny. It's a challenge to us to walk in our destiny. Why is that? Because most opportunities to walk in your destiny mean you have to step into a problem. Amen? Typically, listen, when you're walking in your destiny, you're either stepping into your own problem or somebody else's. You're taking up a battle for someone else. Right? But he said, but the point is, you have to step into your destiny. It will not just happen. So when we preach and say there's a purpose in your life, it won't just happen. You have to make some steps. You have to make some things happen that you can choose your destiny. You can grab your destiny, because it almost always is overcoming an obstacle, overcoming a problem, or a literal crisis that's going on in your life. And today, as we continue this series, we're going to look at a story about a young man who stepped into a national crisis. And we want to learn, how did he walk in that place? How did he have that peace of mind? How did he have that courageous faith to be able to do such a thing? Let's pray right now. Father, we come before you, God, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. God, and we thank you, God, that you've said that victory is for us. God, you said we have a destiny and a purpose. Everyone in this room, no matter what your age is today, you have a destiny in front of you. Your time is not past if you're graying, right? And there is a big future, bigger than you could imagine, filled with destiny if you're younger. That's reality. Open us up, God. Help us learn from David's story today, God, that we could reach our destiny. Amen? That's what we want to catch today. Again, but it's all about focusing on him, just like the prophetic word spoke today. Everybody in this room has some problems today, right? We got some issues. Everyone in the room. You know, at times you look at certain people and say, oh, they don't have any problems, right? We look at people like, they look at, what problem do they have? They don't have. Everybody has issues. Everyone has a story. And everyone has things today that are weighing on them. Right? That's the truth. But I'm telling you, listen, many of those are destiny calling you. Those problems, those obstacles, it's either preparing you for your destiny and you have to walk down that path, or it is destiny. But you have to be willing to embrace it, because we all have problems. And just thinking, how much confidence could we live life by if we truly believed, all of us say we believe, if we truly believe that God is with us in every battle? It would change life if we believe this. The good news is, he is with us, of course, right? Amen? He is with us, and we have to have faith to do it. But not just faith, courageous faith. Courageous faith. We need courage to trust God if you're going to reach your destiny. And who does not want to reach their destiny and fulfill what God has for them, right? You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't have that desire. But to do that is going to take courage. Because there's problems, there's issues, there's chaos. You're either going to step into that chaos and conquer it, or you're going to shrink back. And let's just look at these words here from the writer in Hebrews of chapter 10 and verse 38 and 39. It says this, "But my righteous one shall live by faith. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." I read this scripture. First time I read it, it struck me. I'm like, man, what? This is to me is one of those wow scriptures. God says his right living son or daughter will live by faith. You can't do this on your own. My daughter, my son is going to live by faith, right? And this is because if we refuse, if we doubt him, if we shrink back, I disappoint the Father. He's disappointed. So when you shrink back in faith and you can't trust him, he's disappointed. He's hurt by that. He's hurt. And not only that, look at the next verse, right? It says, those who shrink back are what? Destroyed. Destroyed. Again, destroyed. The Greek word, apolia, I'm sorry. But it means to suffer loss, to be ruined. To be ruined. See, we either need to step into the chaos that's before us with courageous faith, or you disappoint the Father and you suffer loss. See, we can't stand where we are. We can't just pretend problems don't exist. We can't just live life and think that these things are okay. You know, I think all of us have memory. Most of us have memory of when we've disappointed somebody. They weren't necessarily angry with us, but they were just disappointed. At times, I wish they'd be angry with me, right? Disappointing someone you love is a painful thing. How often have we disappointed God? Just by a lack of faith. Just by a refusal to trust for various reasons. Now, we want to be people who walk in faith, right? Let's learn to have courageous faith today. And that's what we want to learn. We want to learn how to activate courageous faith. And let's see what we can learn from this giant killer. How do we do that? How do you activate courageous faith? Here's this next slide. Okay, those with courageous faith will identify the problem, they will engage the problem, and they will overcome the problem by the power of God. That's what we want to do today. That's what we want to grasp as we look at the story of David this morning. Okay, but catch this. You have to identify the problem, you have to engage the problem, overcome the problem by the power of God, not because you're so good, not because you have intestinal fortitude, but by the power of God. So we're going to put these scriptures up out of 1 Samuel 17. I'm not going to read a lot of them. I'm just going to give you the story, and you can go to verses 1 to 3 there. Okay, and what's happening here? Giving you some background here. David, at the time of this happening, has already been anointed king of Israel. All right, he's been anointed the king, but it was done privately. The present king doesn't know it happened. All right, Saul does not know it's happened. David is a teenager. He's been anointed king. Very few people know that this has happened. All right, so he's at the time of this writing, at the beginning of the chapter, he's in the fields tending his father's sheep. That's what's going on. Now, around this time, the Philistines have invaded Judah. The nation of the Philistines has invaded Judah, and they're set up in formation to fight one another across a valley. That's commonly the way they would fight back then. And it's only about 15 miles from Jerusalem. That's like from here to Monroeville, right? They're close to Jerusalem. And the Philistine army and Saul, king of Israel, they're faced off here. And it was not uncommon in those days for, to save bloodshed, for one side to say, hey, we'll put out our strongest guy, you put out your strongest guy, and they'll fight, and it's winner take all. Right? That wasn't a crazy thought at that time. So if we get into verse 4 and 5, we see that Goliath is the champion warrior from Gath. He's the Philistine that they put out there. And this Philistine champion was huge. He was somewhere between 9 and 10 feet tall. Some say 9 feet, 9 inches tall. All right, his breastplate, you can see, man, weighed 125 pounds. Just his breastplate. The head of his spear rate weighed 15 pounds. I mean, obviously, he was a big guy, all right? And obviously, he was a warrior. He was a giant of a man. In verses 8 and 9, we see that Goliath would step out, and he would shout, and he would taunt the army, the Israelites, saying, you know, hey, are you going to come out and fight? One of you come out here and fight me. Come on, let's just get this over with. And he would come out, and he would taunt them, all right? And that's what was going on. We look at verse 10 and 11. Look at this. As he says, he defies the armies of Israel. Send me a man. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified, deeply shaken. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified. Why? I just read that twice. Okay, I guess it's important. All right, but think about this. So they would hear these words, and they were fearful. It says they would run. And it's kind of a wild picture, because every morning the Israelite army they'd gather, they'd muster, they'd do their battle cries and march to the line. And then Goliath would step out, taunt them, and they'd all run. Okay, they'd all just run away. And this was going on, actually, for a period of weeks. And I can't help at this moment think, but where's Saul? What's Saul doing? Saul was the king of Israel, and he was a warrior. He was a warrior, and he was a big guy himself, not 9 feet tall. But we see from other places in Scripture that he stood out among all the Jews because of his height. He was a big guy. But the point is, where's his faith in God? God supernaturally put him in a position to be king. But at this point, he does not have courageous faith. He doesn't have any faith. He's as afraid as his army. So in verse 12 then, we see David's father, Jesse, he gets into the story here. And we're not taking time to read this, but he had three sons. Three of his oldest sons were already at the front line. They're in the army, which probably, maybe they were the only ones over the age of 20, because you had to be 20 or older to be in the army. David's the youngest. I mean, he looks like he's a middle to younger teen, right? And at this stage, and so he's not even allowed to fight. He's taking care of his father's sheep at this time. Okay, and then as we see in verse 16 and 17, it says that every day for 40 days the Philistine would come out and he'd taunt the army. And so Jesse asked David, he said, I want you to go to the front line, take this food to your brothers, and I want you to take this cheese to the captain. Take this cheese to King Saul. All right. So our snack time today is a cheese stick. All right, it's a cheese stick. So I want you to take your cheese stick. They're being handed out right now. And you can eat that now, or you can stick it in your pocket, or you can put it in the pocket of your door and find it in October. Okay, whatever you want to do with it. Okay, right? So here is your cheese stick. This is your snack because you've been listening so well. Now, I'm going to continue with the story. I'm going to continue on here. Okay, so we're in verse 20. So David now is gone. He's now gone to the front lines. We're going to read this together. Verse 20 in chapter 17. David left the sheep with another shepherd, sent out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelite and the Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Again, what a wild picture. What a wild picture. I mean, these guys are petrified. Again, they do their cheers, they run out in the field, and then run away. Have you seen the giant, verse 25, the men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He'll give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and a man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. Now that is a great reward. I'd love that one, all right? The daughter, I don't know, that didn't work out so well. But the taxes, I could live with that. David asked a soldier standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending this defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Now, let's look at the problem here. Let's look at the problem. There's different responses here I want you to catch. See, as soon as the Israelite army saw him, what did they do? They ran. They ran away. They saw the giant and they ran away. See, but what's David's response, right? Who is this pagan Philistine? How is he allowed to defy the armies of the living God? See, David identified the problem. The problem was not Goliath. The problem was that he was defying God. He was defying the king. He wasn't looking at Goliath, right? He wasn't looking at what strategy could I use to kill this guy? No, he was motivated. He was moved by the problem that God is being defied by this pagan. God is being defied. And that is what moved him. Goliath was not the problem. David wasn't worried about how will I kill him. That wasn't the point. See, now here's the thing, I think, again, that we miss things a lot. We miss the problem. You know, this was a national issue for them. This was a national issue. But let's look at our lives right now. When we see life around us, when we see the culture around us, are we moved by things that defy God? Right? We should be moved that we live in a nation, that we can't trust our institutions of power. Right? Again, there's injustice. There's lying throughout our various agencies in government. right? We see that. I mean, again, those lies, that should bother us that this is happening, that people are being lied to. We should be upset that people defy God by saying that the destruction of innocent children is a good thing, and that we should celebrate the destruction of children in abortion. That should upset us. We should be upset that the family of God, the Christians in our own nation, are not using their talents, not using their time, and not using their financial treasure to build the kingdom of God. We should be bothered by these things. These things hurt God. They hurt the purposes of God. I mean, listen. We should be concerned that there are churches that call themselves Christian churches and don't want to follow the word of God. The message that they're giving to the world and to the lost is so confused. That should bother us. That should do something inside of us. Should make us want to rise up in a positive way. See, so often we're just ignorant of those things. Why? Because we're caught up in our own lives. We're caught up in our own lives. And listen, we think, I can't do anything anyway. Who am I? Well, listen, David was just a guy delivering cheese. That's all he was. He was the kid, right? But who am I? Who am I? What can I do? But isn't that how the enemy works? See, listen, the enemy wants to stay in the dark places. He wants us to think he's not even there, because then he can just continue to do his deceptive thing, right? We see it all the time in individual lives, and I see it across the globe. So, man, God, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Listen, Chuck Swindoll, some of you recall Chuck Swindoll. He's an older gentleman who's taught for many years. He's out of California. He writes this. Okay, we got the quote up there. It says, you see, if you tolerate a Goliath in your life, he'll take your territory. He'll move into your camp. He'll take your thoughts that normally ought to be on God, and he'll put them on himself. That's why you can't afford to tolerate giants. You kill them. See, in our battle, listen, our battle is not flesh and blood, right? We got to remember, what is it that we're fighting? We need to be a people who walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Many of you are familiar with this. Paul told us, he said, look, walk by faith, not by sight. The men saw Goliath was bigger than them. David knew that God was bigger than Goliath. God is bigger than your Goliath. God is bigger than your problem. That is what we need to see. Which way do you look at your problems? Are you problem-focused or God-focused? Problem-focused or God-focused? Because it takes courageous faith to be God-focused. But the only other option is to shrink back. What happens when you shrink back? I disappoint God and I suffer loss. You know, when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force, this is what he's talking about. Right? Again, it's a violent. There's something going on spiritually all the time. Are you going to focus on the problem? You're going to focus on God. Who's bigger? Who's bigger, the problem or our God? Oh, man, this is good preaching. All right, listen. See, we have to see the obstacles in our lives that challenge us. Okay, we have to catch what's going on here. But courageous faith is what it takes to overcome the problem. But you've got to identify the right problem. The problem is not the sickness, right? The problem is not the boss. The problem is not your spouse. Those are not the problems. That's not the problem. There's a lie. The battle's going on up here. What's bigger, the problem or God? What's bigger? That's what we need to catch. God, help us catch this. Let us settle that in our hearts. Oh, man. Okay, let's go forward here. Courageous faith. Secondly, after you identify the problem, you have to be willing to engage the problem. We have to push ourselves. We have to step into the problem and engage it. Let's read on here, verses 32, being 32 to 37. David tells King Saul, don't worry about this Philistine. I'll go fight him. Look at verse 33. Don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous. This is Saul's reply. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. He's been a man of war since his youth. David persisted. Don't you like that word? David persisted. It's like, no, don't tell me my God's not big enough. David persisted. He persisted. At times, we need to persist, don't we? It's a problem. We need to be a little more persistent in the truth. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If an animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too. For he's why? He's defied the armies of the living God. That's why. It's because of his spiritual stance, of him defying God. No one defies God. No one. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented, all right, go ahead. May the Lord be with you. You know, I've often thought at this moment what Saul was really thinking as he sends the little teenager out to fight a giant who's over 9 feet tall. And he sends little David. You can imagine that Saul's inner circle and what they're saying at this time. You know, are you sure? Are you sure this is a good plan? What would you say? Man, listen, David walked in this courageous faith that we can learn from. I want to learn. David did something here that defied all logic, but he had a faith in his God. He knew the problem, and he was willing to engage the problem. Man, you see, it's so easy to preach, engage the problem, step into it. Right, but it's a little bit harder to do, isn't it? Right? It's harder to engage the problem. And why is it hard? Well, all of us have a story. All of us have a history, and we're not real proud of some of our history. And it's so easy to fall into the place where we say, well, this disqualifies me. I can serve God, but I can't do that. I can't do that. Or we just look at our lives and we look at our lineage and where we came from, and you know, I'm not that good. God can't use me in this way. But listen, nothing can be further from the truth. By the blood of Jesus Christ, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice for us, we're equipped and we're empowered. You can conquer the problems in your life. Not just your problems, you can stand strong for other people's crises too, just like David did. Man, we got to see that God wants to empower us. And instead, so we have to overcome these things in our own minds that say, I can't, I'm not good enough. Secondly, we got to remember too, just like Saul said, this is ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous. You can't do this. When you engage certain battles for the purposes of God, people will tell you you're crazy. Why are you doing that? You can't do that. You can't help that person. You don't have time to do that. Look at your life. What can you do for someone? Right? We should expect these things. And these are people that care. They're caring. They care for us. But we need to recognize that. But David is saying, look, trust me. Trust me. I am going to do what God has told me to do. You know, let's talk a minute about this lion and the bear. Because I feel this is very significant. Like David was able to have courageous faith for a Goliath because he had already killed lions and bears. When I think of lions and bears in his life, they were just things he dealt with every single day. If you're a shepherd, you got to deal with animals. You got to deal with wild animals. Just what you do. See, if he didn't have faith to deal with the lions and bears in his life, he would never have the faith to face Goliath. Listen, so many of us struggle in great crisis, in great trouble, because we've never beaten the lions and the bears. The everyday things in our lives, we have not conquered. We still have unforgiveness. Well, again, if you don't defeat that lion, you're not going to be ready for the bigger crisis. God, I just can't trust you to take care of me. Well, if you don't take care of that bear, you're never going to be ready for the greater crisis. It's not going to happen. Listen, if you can't pray out loud in a group, don't think you can take on Goliath. If you still struggle with the directive of God that we're called to share the hope of Jesus with other people, if that's not regular occurrence for you, what makes you think you can take on Goliath? This is just the everyday stuff. If you can't drive down Route 65 without losing your temper, again, you're not ready to take on a Goliath. Okay? So this thing on the lion and the bear, David had conquered the lions and bears in his life. Now he's ready to really handle something of greater import. We struggle in a crisis because we have not dealt with the everyday things. All right? It's quiet in here. Okay, listen. So help us. God, help us. Help us. See, you can practice courageous faith today. Not necessarily taking on a Goliath, but taking on your lions and bears. Because it takes faith. It takes faith. We don't want to be humble. Right? I don't want to forgive. I don't want to give financially. I don't want to do those things. Why? I'm afraid. Courageous faith. Courageous faith. That's trust. Let's trust him. Okay, let's go on here. Also, in this case, just want to catch you real quick. You know, in verse 38, Saul wanted to help out David by saying, put on my armor. Good-hearted idea, right? I mean, use my armor. Use this. I get it. He's thinking it was wise. But David knew he couldn't do that. He tried it on. It's like, this doesn't work. This doesn't work for me. Okay? I've got to trust what I know in God. And this is God's battle, not mine. Okay, and again, so we have to be willing. We have to be willing at times to hold fast. When other people say you're crazy, you got to hold fast. I know when Dawn and I, went to start this church. You know, we had 5 kids. They were ages 8 to 1. And it just didn't make any sense. Didn't make any sense. Especially starting a church with no money. You know, that just... Yeah, we didn't just, but God said to do it. Well, you're apt to fail. We got to do it. God said to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. See, again, so you got to remember that. See, at times, you've got to hold fast. You have to know in your heart that God has called. God is bigger than the crisis, bigger than the problem. Amen? Man, I want you to be encouraged today. And also, too, remember when you engage, the devil will still yell. He's still going to roar at you. You may think, okay, I'm making that bold step. Look at verse 41. It says, Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. You make a step. Listen, you make a step to walk in courageous faith, expect the devil to try to sucker punch you. Okay, God, I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna trust you. And God, I'm gonna tithe. I'm gonna start tithing this week. And then your car breaks down. Those are the things that God, I'm going before the judge. I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna be totally honest. And you got fined more than you thought you would. Listen. Expect those things. Expect the devil isn't just going to sit back. I mean, he's going to fight. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. Right? Here's David again, facing down. There's, you know, facing down people at the back of the room. Someone just that close. All right, and this guy's this giant, and he's taunting him, saying again, "I'll feed your flesh to the birds." See, the battle's not fought physically, right? It's fought really right here. It's fought in the mind. It's a spiritual battle fought right here, just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? The battle was really fought there. Now, he went through terrible pain and torture, physical pain and torture, but the battle was in the garden, right? Again, so you expect that's where the battle is. Who's bigger? What are you focused on, the problem, or are you focused on God? God, remember who is bigger. David wasn't sucked into the fear. All right, man, he didn't waste any time. He moved towards the Philistine. Let's look at verse 45. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. This text right here, I read this one every day. It just, David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I'm going to give the dead bodies of all your men to the birds and wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with a sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle. He'll give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Is that glorious or what? Isn't that how you want to engage your problems? Listen, for your lions and bears that you're putting off dealing with, those conversations that you put off having with someone, right? Listen, be courageous. God's telling you to have the conversation, do it. He's telling you to engage, do it. You got to be willing to engage, you got to do it. But man, God will prove himself true. Truth always wins. Truth sets people free. God has spoken to you a truth. You've got to walk in it. Man, we don't fight with swords and spears and javelins. Oh man, look at verse 47. Look at that. This is the memory verse. This is verse 47. The battle is the Lord's. As you look at the things that you're dealing with, the problems that you're dealing with, the attitudes you're fighting with, the fears you're fighting with, remember 1 Samuel 17:47. What is it? The battle is, let's say it again, for the battle is the Lord's. Get it locked in. The battle is the Lord's. It's not your battle. When you got that thing that's rolling through your head, it's not your battle. It's not your battle. No, the battle is the Lord's. It's not mine. I don't have to fight this. I'm going to run towards the problem, and I'm going to address it in the name of Jesus, in the name of the living God. I'm going to pick up the phone. Maybe you need to make the appointment, or you got to commit to the meeting, or you got to knock on that neighbor's door. Whatever it is you need to do. Or listen, maybe you're supposed to fill out the application that you're not doing, right? Or you need to end a relationship. You got to end one. Or just you know that you're convicted of a sin. Stop. Get help. Do what it takes. Because the battle belongs to God. Quit fighting on your own. Quit fighting that way. Man, I just love it. God said, the Lord will conquer you. He'll conquer you. I'm going to cut your head off today. Some of you need to tell the devil that. Devil, you keep telling me to walk in fear. I'm going to cut your head off today. Because I'm going to walk in truth, and I'm going to do what you told me to do. And I'm going to stand in faith, courageous faith with my God. God, help us. Help us, Lord. Okay, those with courageous faith will overcome the problem by the power of God. Verse 49 to 51. David, remember he had just charged at Goliath. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Which is interesting, because he said he was going to cut his head off, right? So David ran over, pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. Listen, when you engage, when you trust God, and you walk in courageous faith, it may take a minute, but you will achieve victory. Victory is to be had. It's there. It's there for you and I. But we've got to be willing. You've got to identify the right problem. The problem's not the problem, right? You're making the problem bigger than God. You've got to be willing to engage. And we have to trust in the supernatural power of God. Help us, Lord. Help us. We're not going to be hopeless. We're not going to be in despair. So the real question here, Dan, is how are you going to look at your problems? That last slide, please. How are you going to look at your problems? Right? How are you going to do it? You can identify the real problem? Right? Are you going to engage? Are you willing to engage? David was willing to engage. You will see victory. God has equipped us for this moment in time. See, and truth is, though, again, most of us here, we're not ready for Goliath because we haven't slain the lions and bears. And one thing we want to do in this moment is we got to do business. You have to do business with these things. Recognizing that I've walked in fear, that in so many issues in our lives, little issues, but remember, it's the little foxes that steal the fruit from the vine. You see the big thing. These little things that we don't deal with, they cause us loss. Anything that makes you shrink back from trusting God disappoints Him, and you suffer a loss. So even the issues we've been speaking of, if there's a commitment that you need to make, you got to make a choice to do it. Right? If there's a relationship you need to break, you need to break it. If you need to accept, I'm telling you, I want you to be content being single. You need to be content and quit trying to fix what God won't do for you. Hey, listen, if you're still fearful financially and won't give to God because you're afraid, come on, courageous faith. We need to trust Him. If you're, again, you have a physical issue and you're walking in fear, God, I've got to trust you. I've got to trust you, Lord. I am not going to let this problem rule my life. We all have a couple of these things. So right now, again, it's up to you. I want to walk like David. I want to cut the head off of that thing that torments me. So right now, I'm going to encourage you to close your eyes, again, because it helps you focus. Don't run from the moment here. What is the lion? What is the bear in your everyday life that needs slain? Is it laziness? I'm just spiritually lazy. We sang today about God, I lay my life down. I lay my whole life down. And you know you haven't. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to give you my calendar. I'm going to give you my talents. I'm going to give you my treasure. I don't want to leave here the same, God. This lion in my life, this bear, I want it dealt with. I will walk courageously. God's already spoken to you. I will walk courageously. I will cut the head off of this thing. God is bigger than my problem. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. God, I know, Father, as we walk in victory individually, everyone around me also walks in victory. My family will walk in greater victory. My church family will walk in greater victory. As I trust you, God, we want to be giant killers in our lives. So we slay every bear and lion. Don't back down. Let's walk in courageous faith. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Give the Lord a hand.